Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Let's visit with Ray Kaplan now from the Kaplan Law Firm. I've got to make sure I understand this and what happened while I was gone. Ray, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, John. Great. How are you?
I am doing pretty well, but I don't have a student loan that needs forgiveness or at least some consideration here. What's happened now with this SAVE program?
Well, essentially what has happened is that the Department of Education has finally reached a settlement in the litigation over the SAVE plan. So that was the monthly payment plan that about 7 million people were enrolled in under the Biden administration, which drastically lowered everybody's monthly payment and protected your income and kept your payment super low. And so now, essentially, the terms of that settlement agreement are going to formally get rid of and axe the SAVE payment plan. We kind of saw this coming, and we've been talking about it, I know, for a while on your show, talking about how this was going to happen. And really, that day is pretty much here now.
I know that just about anything with Barack Obama or Joe Biden stamp on it, the current administration wants to stamp out. And so and the courts have supported them, say, in total loan forgiveness. But why did they want to eliminate this plan? It didn't forgive loans completely. It just made them more manageable. What was the problem here?
Well, I think the problem was that the SAVE payment plan really drastically lowered borrowers' monthly payments, and there was a big interest subsidy. So, you know, you and I talked about this all the time. You know, it'd be nice if the Department of Ed could lower the interest rates on these student loans, because that's really a big part of the problem, watching your loan balance grow, even though you're making payments. And the SAVE plan really fixed that problem for a while. And so a lot of people, millions of people, a lot of our clients were involved in, but it was done with an executive order instead of going through Congress. And that was ultimately the big problem.
Boy, that is the beauty and the beast of those executive executive orders, is that the president can do it, but without congressional approval, the next president can undo it. If the Congress had signed up for it or agreed to it or created it, then an executive order couldn't cancel it. It would require an act of Congress. So these things are much more manageable, but they're much more fungible, too. They're more easily got rid of. So have they decided to replace the SAVE program with something then?
Well, so what you can do is you can enroll in the IBR, that's income-based repayment plan, and that's pretty close. It still operates on a formula that keeps your monthly payment nice and low, and most people, pretty much everybody, will be able to enroll in IBR, and that's something you really want to do. Because if you don't do so, if you wait until after July 1st, you will be locked out of income-based repayment. And for a lot of people, that will mean a huge increase in their monthly payment. So it's really important that borrowers take action now and don't wait.
All right. What's the difference between the SAVE program and the IBR, the income-based repayment program?
Well, I would say it's a matter of your monthly payment is not going to be as low as it was under the SAVE payment plan. So let's say if your payment under an income-based repayment plan is, say, $400 a month, under the SAVE program, it would have been probably about $100 or $200 a month. So the SAVE payment plan was really it was a formula that created a much lower payment for borrowers. But the IBR formula is based on a formula that's 10% of your gross discretionary income based on your income and your household family size. So the payment is still going to be pretty reasonable under IBR, but it's still going to be a shock for people, because if you're used to a payment of, say, $50 a month, and under IBR, your payment is $200 a month, that's a big difference.
Ray, these are completely separate things, right? One is not a subset of the other. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, these are, well, in a sense, I guess you could say they're kind of under the same umbrella. They're all income-driven formulas and different income-driven repayment plans, but the formulas, the way they work out, is very different for borrowers. So some of those would result in much lower payments than others.
I have to ask this then. So if I was on the SAVE program, what I need to sign up for the IBR if I can, right?
That's correct. And you have to be careful too, because there are lots of income-driven repayment plans, and the servicers don't really tell you which one makes the most sense for you. And there are other income-based repayment plans that are also going to be going away pretty soon. So I would say the safest one is IBR, and that's a safe statutory payment plan.
And do I have to be in the public sector and have 10 years of consecutive payments, or was that the old SAVE program?
No, that is still available. So you can be in the IBR payment plan and be going for a public service loan forgiveness as long as you are employed full-time in the public sector. So teachers, law enforcement, professors, doctors, nurses who work at hospitals, just you need to enroll in the IBR, because the SAVE payment plan is no longer going to count towards that magic 120 months you need to have your loans forgiven under public service loan forgiveness. And one thing I'd like to clear up, there's a lot of confusion about public service loan forgiveness is still the law, and it is not going anywhere.
That's good to know. What if you do miss one payment for one reason or another?
Then it just sets you back another month before you get your loans forgiven. So it's no big deal. Can easily be made up.
Okay. And what are you hearing from your clients or our listeners? I know a lot of people that listen to us use you. What are you hearing? What's happening in this realm for you?
Well, there is a lot of panic out there, and there's a lot of conflicting information out there. So this is really one of those times where I don't want people to panic, but I also don't want people to just kind of assume that everything will work out. It is important that you, especially if you have, say, over $30,000 in student loans, that you take precise action and that you have an advocate on your side who can look at your loans and your situation and determine, are you eligible for loan forgiveness? Are you eligible for a lower monthly payment? What payment plan should you be in, and how you can pursue getting rid of your student loans? Really, that's the name of the game. Being current and in good standing under the law on your student loans, so there's no negative impact on your credit, but also getting rid of your student loans. And that's really where we come in.
Why did you mention $30,000 for total student debt?
Well, because that's about the average. So the average borrower owes about $30,000. A lot of our clients, though, tend to be higher debt borrowers. So they have anywhere between $50,000 to $400,000, $500,000 in federal student loans. And certainly if you have that type of student loan, you want somebody, an attorney who understands the law, because you may be in the wrong payment plan. You may be overpaying on your student loans with no benefit. And you also may be eligible, especially if you are retired, to have your entire loan balance forgiven. So now is really the time to take action, to just pursue that, because why would you leave that kind of money on the table?
847 says, can a parent enroll in an IBR plan if their child is not in college yet? I guess you would do this proactively. What do you know about that?
No, you have to actually have student loans already in order to enroll in that IBR plan. So if that parent already has student loans, yes, they can. But they would need to do a federal consolidation of their loans. And that is also something you want to be a little careful about, because consolidation now resets the clock. We went through a period of a few years where they suspended that rule. And if you consolidated your loans, it would not reset the clock. However, now they're going back to the old rules. So now if you consolidate, it will reset the clock on forgiveness.
I don't know if this is a good strategy, but should you go ahead and borrow the money, acquire loans, and then apply for the forgiveness so your payment would be less, maybe not even the total amount you borrowed? Or if you have the money, should you just go ahead and pay the freight? Pay whatever college costs, right? Because maybe I don't have what it's going to cost, I'll get enough forgiveness that I would have saved money by borrowing the money rather than paying cash.
Absolutely.
Is that an idea?
Yes, absolutely. Because very often, depending on what you're going to be doing when you exit college or grad school, if we can make a plan and a strategy, which is why we offer pre-college planning consultations, to make that strategy so that you know exactly what type of loans to take out and ultimately how to pay what you need to pay under the law. But if you are eligible for any forgiveness, how to aggressively pursue that loan forgiveness, because the law is there for a reason. It's meant to help you so that you don't have to pay more than Congress intended.
So here's just the first sentence from Forbes. The Trump administration announced an agreement on Tuesday to officially kill the SAVE plan for federal student loans. The announcement included in an Education Department filing to settle an ongoing legal challenge will result in millions of borrowers being forced into more expensive repayment plans in the coming months. And while that may be true, this is still better than nothing, right? You said that these IBRs might cost you more, but good grief, it is still an income-based reduction. You're going to pay less than you would have otherwise, right?
Oh, absolutely. We have some clients where if they were not able to enroll in an income-based repayment plan, they would be stuck with a standard payment plan of $2,000 a month or more, whereas an income-based repayment plan, because they're on limited income, will offer them a monthly payment of $200 a month. So you can certainly see there is a huge difference there.
One last point, too, Ray. When you talk about the discretionary income that we have to pay off these loans, the formula that they use, as you've described it for one of the programs for us in the past, is pretty generous for the borrower, right? Like, it's not just your income minus taxes and your mortgage payment. Whatever's left is now eligible. It's a thinner slice of your income, right?
It is pretty generous because it essentially comes down to 10% of your gross discretionary income. And the formula that applies protects some of your income before it even goes into the calculation. So it is, for most people, a very reasonable payment. For most people, it's kind of like a cell phone monthly payment. For some people, but who have higher income, of course, the payment is higher. And then it's just a question of budgeting appropriately.
You want to show off at all? Is there a particular letter you got from a listener or one of your clients that kind of blows our mind? What's the latest version of that?
Well, we have our one client recently. Her name is Nancy, and I know she won't mind because she's been so happy and excited. She had her $160,000 loan balance forgiven, and she really thought it was never going to happen because she was reading all of these conflicting things and newspaper articles, and she was really just kind of depressed. And she finally got the letter recently, and she was so happy and excited. She sent us a huge basket of flowers at the office. And so she's very excited. And also, her loan forgiveness is not going to be considered taxable income. So a lot of times when people's loans are forgiven, it's considered taxable and you have to pay some kind of taxes on the amount of loan forgiveness that you receive. Well, if your loans are forgiven before January 1st, 2026, that is not considered taxable income. So you don't have to pay taxes on it, which is even better, right?
This note from a listener: I'm 50 years old. I still owe $75,000 in student loans and can only work part-time because of physical pain. I've been in default for 10-plus years. Is there any hope for me, even on a payment plan?
Yes, there definitely is help for that borrower. She or he should give us a call at the office, 312-294-8989, and book a consultation, because of their information there that they are disabled, they may be eligible to have the entire loan balance forgiven, even though they're currently in default. So there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel. They just have to know how to get it. And again, that's really where we come in. We know these avenues to pursue loan forgiveness. Yeah. Even if you're in a bad situation, the statute applies to you. The law applies to you.
I'll let you go, Ray. This conversation is content rather than commercial, although I see I'm going to read a commercial for you here in a minute, but I just like to put you on because I think this is just so valuable. And I know I've had friends who have heard these conversations before. I think they're so used, though, to the burden, the pain of student loans that they don't even want to think about it. And they don't get off the dime. And all it takes is a phone call, describe your situation, and let's see if they can help you. And I understand you don't want to look, you don't want to think about it, you don't want to talk about it, but good grief, that one lady's $160,000 out of debt now. So good luck to everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, 312-294-8989. That's the Kaplan Law Firm. Nice to talk to you, Ray. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Oh, hey. Welcome home.
Yeah, thank you. And the deadline to get out of these SAVE plans is July. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a little bit unclear, but especially for Parent PLUS loan borrowers out there, this is really crucial. We have to take steps on your loans, I would say even before June, because all this stuff takes time. So yes, July 1st, but technically we need to get everything approved well before July 1st. So really, I would say June is the deadline. July 1st is the drop dead date.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.